mobility now sank into the ground, and its wounds began closing at a visible rate.
"Get away from it!" Joe called, staring at the creature and activating intrusive scan.
He watched the creature for 5 full seconds while it snarled at them, unable to move for the time being. Name: Lumberjack. Class: Living Wood Ghoul. Level: 10. Highest stat: Constitution. Ongoing effects: Living Armor, Undead, Cursed, Sacrificial Defense, Absorb Nutrients.
After 5 seconds, the ghoul's weak points lit up in Joe's vision, and he hurried to point them out before combat reignited. Anyone know what sacrificial defense means? Also, Alexis, its armor is alive, even if the creature isn't.
I have something similar to Agent Orange. It works on plants and meat. No need to worry about poison immunity if its flesh falls off.
Alexis began to dig through her pack.
Make sure not to breathe this in after I use it if you like having lungs.
A tiny halo of copper light appeared around Bard's head for a moment.
Ah! Skaldic knowledge kicked in. Sacrificial defense means that armor will be continuously repaired using the health of the person wearing it. Killing the armor should kill the creature as well.
All right, but when it is standing still like that, it is healing by pulling nutrients from the ground, Joe told them, watching as the wounds on the ghoul closed.
It was staring at him with frightening intensity. His intrusive scan must have built up a lot of aggro.
I'm gonna launch the herbicide,
Alexis told the group as she put a new bolt in her hand crossbow.
As soon as it clears up, go for the kill.
The melee fighters got into position, getting ready to charge the undead that was eyeing them like dinner.
Twack!
At this range, there was almost no time between when Alexis fired and when the bolt landed. As the cloud of toxins settled on the wood, the ghoul released a shriek of fury. The wood and exposed flesh began to bubble, and the wood armor thrashed in place while uprooting itself. The ghoul's already thin body became skeletal as the wood absorbed muscle and fat to restore itself. As the air cleared, the fighters launched themselves forward. Bard began using his axes to take chunks of wood from the armor, forcing it to kill its host in an attempt to recover. Poppy aimed for the critical points that Joe had mentioned, and Jackson continued to try and tear off limbs by forcing joints to rotate over and over.
Experience: 300. 2 times 150 times Jack times 1.
The attacks stopped as the notification appeared, everyone breathing heavily as the adrenaline began to wear off. Bard smiled happily as he exclaimed,
I go 500 XP off that Shanbisti.
The others seemed happy with the gains from fighting the ghoul, but something was bothering Joe. He snapped his fingers as it came to him.
Aha! Guys, we only beat half the enemy. That armor is alive, remember? We were fighting Lumberjack, but we only got experience for Jack. Let's kill the armor!
Joe started the attack, spraying a gout of acid onto the wood. He was pleased to see that it took extra damage, as it was apparently considered equipment even if it was alive. He would remember that in future battles. Bard came in next, using his axes to chop the wood into manageable chunks. The others stayed back, their attacks not very useful against this kind of enemy. On the plus side, without a host, the armor was immobile. In moments, a new notification appeared.
Experience: 150, 2 times 75 times lumber times 1.
I am loving this double experience, Poppy sighed happily. 200 experience for an immobile enemy. Awesome. I got 3,
Bard told him smugly.
I'm glad for you, but doesn't that just mean you are at a lower level?
Poppy's seemingly pleasant words caused Bard to grimace, a bit of color that he tried to hide coming into his cheeks. Jackson seemed troubled. He looked around the transformed town, sighing as he saw mainly enemies similar to the one they had just fought.
I am uncertain how useful my skills will be here. Unless we encounter enemies without limb-assisting mechanisms, most of my skills will be countered quite easily.
I'm sure there will be something out there for you, Jackson. If nothing else, you apparently have a really high skill in dodging. You could serve as an alternate tank if you needed to. Joe patted the despondent monk on the back, hoping to cheer him up.
Joe, there is something you need to see.
Alexis had moved forward to do a bit of scouting, and the way she hurried back was concerning. What's wrong? Joe responded instantly, putting on his serious face.
I think we are in trouble.
She motioned for everyone to stay as quiet as possible, and they followed her. They peeked around the corner, horrified as they saw the mass of ghoulish enemies clustered in the area. While none of them were exactly the same, it was obvious that they would be at least as strong as the first ghoul they had fought. They moved back to the entrance, regrouping around the bubbling remains of the ghoul. Poppy was beginning to panic, and his words were filled with a mix of fear and frustration.
How are we supposed to fight that? This is stupid. Much as I love fighting the undead, there must have been 24 of them clustered in the town square.
Calm down, Jackson demanded, surprising the others. If you attract them over here like that, I am going to make you hold them off.
Take it easy, Jackson. Joe was getting concerned. Had he made a mistake adding Jackson to the party? It seemed that whenever he wasn't talking about things that he was passionate about, he was kind of mean. Though something was off. Jackson was looking at him with a strange, uncomprehending expression. Jackson, what did you just hear Poppy say?
What are you talking about?
Jackson pointed at the duelist, who seemed quite offended.
You were right here. He said, how can we not fight that? Don't be stupid. There are only 24 of them, and we can lure them from here. I thought that was a terrible idea, and if he wants to draw them in like that, he is going to need to hold them off if things go wrong. It's only fair.
Oh, this is so cool,
Alexis whispered, eyes alight with interest.
I read in the forums that people with negative stats in certain areas have different gameplay, but I've never seen any posts from people with low charisma. Oh, that's insidious. I love it.
What do you mean?
Poppy didn't take his eyes off of Jackson, who seemed to be studying his fingers again.
Well, people with below 10 strength or constitution have a really hard time getting around or doing anything physical.
Alexis started, only to be cut off by Joe. I can attest to that. Joe held up a hand. I only recently got above 10 in those 2 stats.
Right. And people with bad dexterity fall a lot or hurt themselves trying to work with intricate stuff.
Alexis continued, while Joe nodded along almost nostalgically.
Warriors that didn't think intelligence or wisdom mattered have reported that when people talk, they only hear the simplest words. Everything else comes out as blah, blah, la, la. Baby talk. Apparently, it is really upsetting. Bad wisdom? They attack things that they really shouldn't. Like rocks, thinking they are the enemy they were seeking.
So what you are saying, Joe realized where this was going. Low charisma means that they just think everyone else is being a jerk.
Exactly.
Alexis smiled, though it faltered a bit when she saw that she was the center of attention.
So Jackson really thinks he is doing nice things for people, and he might not even be saying mean things, but the game is transforming what he says to meet his low charisma.
Insidious. You weren't joking.
Bard looked at the smiling monk.
I'll see if I can't find a spell to buff charisma when we get out of here.
If we get out of here, Poppy muttered, looking away.
That's something we should talk about. Joe heaved a sigh as a plan formed in his mind. Not that I don't have faith in our team, but I don't think we can beat this dungeon.
What are you saying?
Jackson seemed shocked at their leader's lack of faith.
I think that we should play it safe and pick off individual enemies for as long as we can. But if we can't leave except by winning or dying, we should make sure that we get enough experience not to drop a level before we take any chances.
Let's look for any items or money, but if we have a total party wipe, don't be upset.
Joe, if we plan to fail, we will.
Alexis spoke up uncharacteristically vehemently.
We will play it safe, but we will beat this dungeon. Even if it takes a week or a month of grinding and going slow, we will all walk out of here together, alive.
As she finished her speech, the group was coated by a spray of liquid. Jackson fell to the ground, his head landing a moment later. Behind his falling corpse was another ghoul, but the wood covering this one's arm was curved and sharp as it held a scythe in each hand.
I take it we forgot to set a guard? Joe quipped as they rushed to get into a battle formation.
Contrary to his flippant attitude, Joe was furious with himself for failing to take care of his people. He readied a spray of acid, planning on skewering this foe with a shadow spike as soon as it was distracted by the destruction of its armor. Poppy parried a swing from the ghoul, using the opening to create a large hole through its neck.
That didn't count as a critical, Poppy warned them. I forgot for a moment, head or heart with the undead.
The creature spun rapidly, its other arm coming down on Bard, who failed to properly block in time. A fresh shower of blood wet the ground as a huge wound opened up on Bard's arm.
Arrgh! Your ma's got balls, and your dad loves it!
The bard shouted at the ghoul in rage and pain. The ghoul took on a red tinge as Bard unexpectedly enraged it. Joe finished with his cast, and the ghoul was coated in weak acid, its armor instantly trying to fix the damage by tearing into its host. Joe quickly aimed his scepter at Bard, sending a focused heal into his arm as the ghoul began to swing at the scald wildly. Bard's motions became much more fluid as his arm stitched itself together.
Give me a minute with this beastie. My dodge skill has been stagnating. Jump, swish, in ifin, swish. I look like I'm gonna die.
The group tried to heed his wishes, but kept attacking in order to whittle down the ghoul's health. A scythe came too close to killing the scald once, slicing open his cheek deeply enough that his teeth could be seen through the hole. Though they threw a few attacks in every once in a while, they made sure to let the focus stay on Bard until Joe saw the ghoul begin to lift its foot. Instantly reacting, he began to cast Shadow Spike. Slam! The first foot came down, driving the roots into the ground. Joe had timed his spell perfectly because as the other foot raised and lowered, a spike was formed right under the stamping heel. A sound like a tree splintering cracked through the area as the ghoul drove its foot down as hard as it could, allowing the spell to drive upward all the way to its knee. The spike vanished a bare second later, and the ghoul would have fallen if its other leg weren't already stabilizing it.
Brilliant cast!
Alexis laughed in exultation, firing another bolt into the ghoul's wood-covered face. Bard took the initiative and hacked into the rooted leg like it was a sapling. After a few moments of this, the ghoul dropped to the ground. Bard and Poppy finished it off by chopping off the ghoul's head in honor of their fallen comrade. This had the added benefit of killing the armor at the same time, so they decided to remember this trick for the future.
Experience 450, 2 times 225 times Plank McGee times 1.
Joe looked sadly at the gray matter leaking from the ghoul's split skull.
If only I had a way to preserve that. I have so many uses for an undead brain.
Alexis looked at him oddly, but didn't say anything. Bard gestured at Jackson's body.
Well?
Joe nodded in reply, sitting down for a minute to regain his mana.
This is going to be the only time I can do this today, so we really need to be extra paranoid from now on. Guards, cautious steps, the works.
Do what today?
Poppy questioned as Bard nodded in understanding. Alexis made a no-idea gesture as Joe stood up.
Alrighty, here we go.
He began going through the myriad of movements needed, finishing up by pulling his arms back so his elbows were tucked to the side with his palms facing forward. Once again, mana began to fluctuate in front of his hands, becoming visible and seeming to hold great depth. Joe pressed his hands forward slowly as he took a deep breath.
Resurrection.
As it happened the last time he used this spell, a rent in the air appeared, a portal to elsewhere forming. A second passed, then two, but soon Jackson stepped through the breach. His corpse vanished from the ground before his foot had touched the first speck of dirt.
Didn't think anyone made it. I do have to say, the time dilation makes the wait much more manageable.
Gotta stop dying, Jackson. Bard rolled his eyes. If you already complain about the time it takes to magic you back.
Yes, yes, don't make dying a habit, Jackson waved Bard's words away. I would really prefer not to, but if I do go down, I much prefer a speedy return.
Jew can resurrect people, Poppy gasped with glee. I don't even... Do you know what this...
That's a neat trick.
Alexis gave a half-smile, her cool attitude sobering Poppy. I like it, Joe shrugged nonchalantly. Come on, guys. Let's try to find a safe area. We need a plan of action. Chapter 21. By going left instead of taking a right into the town square, they were able to avoid the densely packed enemies. Joe had a sinking suspicion that they would still need to go into that area if they lasted long enough. Most of the buildings that had been in the town were still standing, though they had been twisted, malformed, and, strangely enough, reinforced. Even with the new look, the building they set up in felt far less rickety and likely to collapse than they had expected. They crept around, and after ensuring that there was no one hiding in a corner waiting to jump out at them, they closed and barricaded the door. Bard sat down, heaving a huge sigh.
Two foes in and we're near ready to drop.
I'm still shocked how something as large and nasty as that thing could move so silently, Jackson complained heatedly. I normally have excellent situational awareness.
We got too caught up in our discussing game mechanics. Joe waved Jackson over to sit with them. We got too loud, too focused on other things. We won't let it happen again, but right now, we need to make a plan. I'm not sure what the requirements for beating this dungeon are, but if it's anything like other games, we need to find and beat the dungeon boss.
Most likely still true here.
Alexis sank down to the ground next to Bard.
In my opinion, there are two choices for who the boss would be. Either the highest leveled person in town, Sir Barrington, or the person who set this whole thing into motion, the smith.
The mayor is a bear, Joe flatly stated. The others ignored his inane comments and continued talking.
Could we set up traps?
Poppy didn't direct the question at anyone, simply voicing his thoughts.
Aye, we could. But with what?
Bard scratched at his beard, deep in thought.
I doubt that Lexis has the volume of poison. Joe might be able to do somewhat, but I don't want to spend a week here.
Hey!
Joe started indignantly, pausing and thinking about what Bard was saying. As he parsed the accent, Joe realized he had actually been complimented. He finished with a grudging, "Carry on."
In my opinion, the issue isn't with fighting the ghouls. It is with fighting all of them at once.
Jackson stretched forward, cracking his knuckles.
We either need to split them up or get them into an enclosed area where their numbers are meaningless. Heck, bring them into here.
If we can get them into an enclosed area, my poison would be more effective.
Alexis nodded along with Jackson's words.
The issue in that instance would be that there is no other exit from these buildings that I have seen.
Unless we had another way out, that would be a death sentence.
Bard looked at his axes, then the back wall.
Cutting through the walls would take a long time, alert the ghouls, and reduce the effectiveness of Alexis's poison.
Poppy was quick to say when he saw the decision forming in Bard's eyes. Bard simply sighed and leaned into Alexis for comfort.
This building has two floors. We could hop out a window if we needed to, Jackson offered cheerfully.
That opens us up to true damage from falling. Terrain damage.
Alexis shook her head, sighing as she realized that surviving this dungeon was becoming more and more unlikely.
I might be able to help with that,
Joe slowly stated, looking a bit uncomfortable. Do any of you have the skill jump?
This should be good. Look how he's blushing.
Alexis smirked at the uncomfortable look on Joe's face.
I don't have it. Is that an issue?
No, actually. That's a good thing. Joe made everyone stand up, his face bright red. I'm going to try to teach you all how to get the jump skill, all right?
Do we just jump?
Jackson crouched, but Joe quickly stopped him. No, no, listen to my instructions before doing anything, okay? Joe looked at the others, who had various versions of a smirk on their faces. All right. Point your hands down and put them slightly below your hips. Bend your knees and straighten them as quickly as possible. Repeat as necessary.
Are you messing with us?
Bard grumbled with a snort. Jackson followed Joe's instructions right away, jumping lightly into the air and landing easily. Huh. Joe blinked as a notification filled his vision.
Skill gained. Teaching. Novice 5. While others are content to simply learn a skill, you never stop until you are good enough at it to teach that skill to another person. Anything worth doing is worth passing on to someone else, am I right? What amazing altruism. Oh, wait. You are going to start charging for this, aren't you? Effect. Boost the speed at which a person you are teaching can learn a skill by 10%. Based on your own rank in the skill, your student may acquire the skill at a higher ranking than normal.
I just gained the skill Jump at Beginner 0.
Jackson spoke thoughtfully, tapping his fingertips together.
How intriguing. The notification tells me that there are benefits from learning from a master. Do you have the jump skill at the master rank, Joe?
Yeah. Joe smiled as the others began jumping, expressions ranging from delight to wry annoyance. Keep going, guys. Bend your knees and straighten them out quickly. Jackson began jumping in place along with the others, and Joe repeated his words every once in a while. Each time he did so, the people rolled their eyes at him, but he knew that instructing them would boost their learning speed and boost his teaching skill. By the time they stopped, Joe had increased his teaching skill by a surprising amount.
Skill increased. Teaching. Beginner 2. Effect. Boost the speed at which a person you are teaching can learn a skill by 20%. Based on your own rank in the skill, your student may acquire the skill at a higher ranking than normal. Extra effect. Passionate instruction. As you have not been teaching others for profit, but simply to help them, when you initially teach a person a skill, the boost to their starting rank will be significantly higher if you do not charge for your services.
And just like that, my dreams of making a profit vanish once again, Joe grumbled good-naturedly. He didn't really need extra money, but it would be nice to have the option for once. How is everyone feeling?
I got to beginner 9. 9!
Poppy shook his head, a goofy look of glee on his face.
I got an extra effect that reduces fall damage by 20% because my instructor has something similar.
Same here,
Alexis stated, followed quickly by the others.
How in the world did you get your jump skill to the master ranks? I've never even seen you jump.
I'd really rather not say. Joe quickly killed that awkward conversation. But I jump all the time. You've seen how I walk? How it seems that I go further than I should with each step?
You mean skipping counts as jumping?
Jackson had a look of glee on his face.
I can't wait to work on increasing the rank of this skill.
The others had a sudden vision of the monk skipping down the road with a skeletal smile on his face, fingers wiggling as if he were gripping a handful of snakes. Also appearing in all of their premonitions were angry guards with drawn swords chasing the man.
You know, I think that this will be fun,
Poppy snickered evilly.
I love that I joined this group.
We should get started setting up some traps and figuring out how not to get caught in them.
Joe coughed into his hand, hoping that he hadn't just made life harder for Jackson. Who here can run the fastest? You are going to have to be bait for the ghouls. Not Alexis, though. She and I need to work on traps.
I'll do it,
Jackson happily stated, turning toward the door.
Just tell me when.
Wait a bit, Joe instructed as he turned to Alexis. What do you need from us in order to make this work?
I need a vat of some kind,
Alexis told them.
I'm going to dump the majority of my ingredients into it. Then when Jackson comes back through here, he can toss in the final aerosolizing agent into it. The entirety of the first floor will quickly be filled with a choking poison, but it is heavier than air, so most of it shouldn't filter into the air upstairs. We need to be really careful, though. Once the air is filled with this stuff, it will explode if it comes in contact with an open flame.
Can we use that as part of the trap? Joe inquired right before Poppy could ask the same question. Poppy caught his breath, snorting because he had been beaten to the punch.
I mean, if you want to go kamikaze.
Alexis rolled her eyes.
If you are close enough to light it on fire, you will be caught in the blast. It'll be indoors, remember? That amount of force would blow the roof off, and we will be between the blast and the roof, so...
I found a bathtub over here,
Bard called from another room.
Will that work as a vat? It's movable and has no drain.
That's perfect, sweetheart. That's perfect.
Alexis's face turned crimson. She looked around at the others.
We're dating now.
Got that. Poppy chuckled at her murderous glare. No need to be embarrassed. I wish I were as lucky.
Before Alexis could say anything, Jackson nodded and agreed with the duelist.
Yes, we would all be lucky to have a partner as competent and caring as Bard. He was an excellent choice of mate, Alexis.
A half-snort, half-laugh came from both Joe and Poppy at his words. Alexis simply covered her face with her hands and tried not to throw something at the monk.
I hate you all,
she groaned weakly.
All right, could have used the hand with this. That's fine, I'll just do it alone,
Bard grumbled as he dragged a copper bathtub into the room.
Where do you want me to put her?
Joe couldn't help himself.
Put it over there, Schnookums.
The crossbow bolt in his foot made him screech, but he considered himself lucky that she used a non-poisoned projectile. He healed his foot over a few seconds, ignoring the glare on Alexis's face and the shock on Bard's.
Worth it,
he stage whispered, locking eyes with Poppy and winking.
We are going to want it near the stairs.
Alexis directed the placement of the tub, then Joe channeled his healing water into the tub to fill it up. After a few moments, the magical component of the water faded and left behind regular but very pure water. Alexis tested the water with a strip of something that she pulled from her pack.
This is a perfect base for potions and especially for poison. This is strange. I've never run into water with such a high affinity for darkness before.
Is that good for what you do? Making potions and such?
Joe examined the water with interest. He hadn't known it would keep any properties.
Good enough that I'd really like to use this water in the future whenever I'm making poison,
Alexis informed him with a pleading glance.
Maybe don't shoot me then,
Joe countered the puppy dog eyes easily. How long will this take?
This is a simple poison with limited usage. A plant killer mainly, so it'll only take about 10 minutes to steep and integrate the reagents. We are counting on it being highly concentrated so that the wooden armor eats the ghouls as they wither. I think the ghouls are largely immune to my poison, being undead, so I am maximizing this against their armor. All Jackson will need to do is dump in the powdered beast core when he comes through.
Alexis fished out a small bag from her satchel.
Then poof. Within 10 seconds, the contents of the entire tub will have turned into a fog. It'll fill this space really thickly, so you are going to need to move scary fast, Jackson.
Run up the stairs as fast as I did when I was a child and had to turn off the basement lights. Got it.
Jackson was limbering up, the cracking of his joints making Alexis wince. Joe shifted the conversation to the next talking point.
Poppy, any information on any emergency exit point?
I snuck out back, and we have two options. We can either jump to ground floor, or if we are feeling really lucky, we can try and get over onto the roof of the next building over. Not sure if it's clear, so I say we go to the ground and around that building."
Poppy waved his hands as he spoke, obviously thinking that the wild motions were helping them understand what he was saying.
"Works for me. Anything to add, Bard?"
Joe looked over at the last member of the party.
"I'm gonna add a buff to old Creepy Fingers here. It'll boost his aggro rate. That way he should be able to get all the ghouls instead of just part of them."
Bard chanted a short incantation, and a red film descended over Jackson.
"Thanks."
Jackson got into position by the door.
"Are we all ready?"
Alexis stirred the tub of purple liquid with the broken-off leg of a chair.
"Ready over here. Just make sure to push this bowl into the tub when you come back and run hard up the stairs."
"Got it."
Jackson took a deep breath and threw open the door.
"Here I go."
He skipped out into the hazy late afternoon light. The remaining members of the party watched the spot he had just vacated, hoping that they hadn't just invited their doom to visit. Also, watching Jackson skip away had been just as disturbing and hilarious as they had imagined it would be. The general consensus was that there was nothing else to do at this point, so after a minute, they simply filed up the stairs and waited. From the noises outside that were quickly approaching, the wait would not be a long one.
"Tasty, tasty, Monk. Come get me while I'm warm. Yum, yum, yum. Hey, anything I may have missed? Over here."
"We're dead,"
Alexis whispered, paling at the sight of the platoon of ghouls chasing after Jackson. "Let's get ready for Plan B." Joe opened the back window just in case they didn't understand.
"A little faith in the plans you concoct would ease my tension significantly,"
Poppy joked half-heartedly.
"I don't suppose you have any advice for when we jump out of the window?"
Joe looked directly into Poppy's eyes and nodded. "Do a flip."
"Wow."
"It'll give you a skill. I'm not being a terrible person." Joe huffed at the shocked looks that were thrown his way.
The door on the first floor was slammed open, and thundering footsteps announced Jackson's return.
"I think I got their attention."
"Get up here, you weapons grade idiot!"
Bard shouted down the stairs when Jackson didn't immediately run back to relative safety.
"One moment, please,"
Jackson called back.
"Where did you put the powder?"
"It's on the nightstand next to the tub,"
Alexis called down impatiently. Smashing sounds filled the air as the ghouls began entering the building. Jackson called up to them in a sing-song voice.
"I don't see it."
"Oh my gosh!"
Alexis slapped the wall.
"To the left of the tub, on your way up the stairs. It's in a bowl. It's purple, filled with shiny powder."
Crash, tinkle.
"I found it. Adding it now."
Jackson practically flew up the stairs, ghouls on his heels.
"Does that taunt impact teammates, or do I just naturally want to hurt him?"
Alexis wondered as she glanced out the window and saw the last few ghouls forcing their way into the building. Bard just shrugged as Jackson, looking much the worse for wear, burst into the room.
"I think, gasp, we're trapped. Wheeze! There are dozens of them."
Jackson almost fell to the ground, stamina completely drained. Joe threw a healing spell at him to take care of the few injuries he had gained. Both Bard and Poppy were already completely engaged with the enemy, doing their best to hold them off at the doorway.
"It's okay, Jackson. Those dozens of poor suckers don't know they just walked into a trap. There's five of us waiting here for them."
Joe pulled Jackson to his feet.
"Right, the poison. Yes."
Jackson struggled into a fighting stance, getting closer to the door.
"No, the trap is that there is five of..."
"Yeah, the poison." Joe had been wanting to use that joke all day, and now it was spoiled.
"I'm getting damage notifications, but the poison isn't doing as much damage as it should be. It isn't going to be killing them anytime soon."
Alexis looked away from her combat log with wide eyes.
"They must have torn part of the wall off down there."
"They did,"
Jackson informed them, looking around at the group. Bard took a heavy blow just then, stumbling back and opening a hole in the human barrier they had established. A root slammed into the floor below them, penetrating through and opening a small hole. Jackson nodded sharply, as if understanding something. More roots tore into the floor, then the door frame.
You all need to go out of the window, right now.
Jax! What are you doing?
Joe cried as Jackson pulled an unused torch from his bag and lit it.
That'll kill us all!
No, just me. Go now, all of you. I think we all knew that this was a possibility. No, that it was likely.
Jackson seemed determined, the firelight reflecting in his eyes along with his perpetual smile giving him a terrifying visage.
I'm exhausted, my stamina is bottomed out, and someone needs to give you all time to escape. In 5 seconds, I am dropping this torch down that hole, and I hope you all beat this dungeon. 4.
Bard pushed Alexis toward the window, and with a glance backward, she leapt. Bard followed closely, but Joe tried to stay with the crazy monk who continued his countdown, seemingly oblivious to their peril.
3.
Poppy shook his head and pointed, stabbing once more before turning and going out the window.
2.
Joe sighed when he saw that Jackson wasn't even looking at them anymore. Joe turned and jumped, just as Jackson was overwhelmed.
1.
Chapter 22. The world seemed to lose all color but white and orange as the building erupted in flames behind them. With the wall being torn open, there had not been enough flammable material in the air to make the entire building explode, but it was unlikely that anything inside the building was going to survive the sudden inferno if they weren't right next to an exit. Joe did a flip right before landing, arresting some of his momentum and allowing him to reach the ground without injury. Before he touched down, he got a notification that Jackson had died. Joe cursed loudly, looking back to see fire flowing upward from the windows like a reverse waterfall.
We need to get ready to cut down any survivors. We haven't gotten any experience yet, so combat must be ongoing.
The response was muted acceptance, and they hurried around to the front of the building. One ghoul was standing stock still, roots buried as it tried to heal through regaining nutrients. Another one, badly charred, was planting itself as a third wobbled out of the building, barely holding itself together. It fell forward, and Joe met the downward descent of its head with a shadow spike, instantly finishing it off by letting it skewer itself. The least damaged one growled menacingly at them, its vocal cords badly mangled by poison, fire, and smoke. Poppy and Bard circled past that one, their weapons digging into the other as it tried to hurry its regeneration. Arrows buried themselves into the ghoul's flesh, and though the poison wasn't very effective, it still sped the ghoul towards death. The creature died, still standing upright as the armor it was wearing ate the body for nutrients. They didn't bother to chop up the living armor just yet, focusing instead on the remaining monster. It watched them without moving, trying to heal as much of the damage it had taken as possible before joining combat. Joe took the lead, channeling weak acid spray on the ghoul. Over 5 seconds, he used 140 mana to do 175 damage to the ghoul and 5 times that to the armor. The wood was melted almost completely off, and it was child's play for Bard to take the ghoul's head with a single clean swipe. They returned to the other standing armor and simply tossed it back into the inferno, then waited a few moments to be sure that they had gotten every enemy. The notification appearing in their vision confirmed for them that combat had ended. Experience, 3,780. 2 × 225 × 0.3, indirect combat, times sapling ghouls times 28. Experience, 1,350, 2 × 225 × sapling ghouls × 3. Level increase postponed due to being in a dungeon. Skill increased, weak acid spray, novice 9. No longer content with small animals, you now test on larger and larger creatures. The sign of a truly dangerous individual's disturbed mind. Skill increased,
Aerial Acrobatics, Novice 4. Oh, look, he did another flip. At least you didn't hurt yourself this time, showing that you are making actual progress.
Level up postponed?
Alexis complained bitterly.
That's stupid! I have enough now for level 11!
This is actually a safety feature, if I am not mistaken, Poppy interjected before the conversation could spiral downward. If we die, we lose experience as though we were still at our original level. If we live, we are given as much XP as if we were still at the lower level as well. This is a win-win-win situation for us because it will also keep the monsters from getting stronger. Also, I totally did a flip and got a new skill. You're rambling, Poppy. Take a deep breath.
Bard swatted the duelist on the back, making him sputter.
I'm good, I'm good.
Poppy calmed down. Whether it was under his own power or an effect of Bard's charisma was unknown.
We should get moving. Get away from here. The smoke and light will draw in anything that is still out there wandering around.
Agreed. Joe looked at the walls surrounding the dungeon, specifically the fact that the sun was dipping below them.
We should really hurry. I don't want to be in here after full dark.
The party moved away from the area, back toward the town square. They looked around, but the square was now empty except for the trees that lined the path to the new city hall. Of all the areas in town, this one had been changed the most. Where before the city hall was a simple building shoved in among many others, now it was a grand affair that sat alone in the middle of an otherwise empty lot. Only the vegetation and rustling trees kept the lonely manor company.
I see nothing that'll attack us.
Joe quietly told the others. Whispering was a bad idea when attempting to be sneaky, as the hissing vowels would draw attention far easier than simply speaking in a modulated tone.
Anyone see something I'm missing?
Of course, none of the others saw something he had missed. At 33, his perception was higher than anyone else's in the group. They began moving cautiously toward the doors, keeping their eyes open for enemies or traps. Not only did they scan the ground, they watched the trees above them. Unfortunately for all of them, they were simply looking for the wrong size of enemy.
Ow!
Alexis called, slapping at her neck. The others instantly had their attention on her, trying to figure out what had happened, why she was so loud. Her hand came away, leaving behind a path of blood, both red and blue. Metallic thread-like streaks were also visible, but they didn't understand what they were.
It's a spider? Oh, oh no.
Alexis was beginning to stiffen, her head already hard to turn. Her words were forced, panicked, and starting to slur.
It went right through my poison resist... Oh, ow!
Hearing her warning, the others moved quickly. If the spider had gone through her poison resistance that easily, it must be a deadly concoction indeed. Joe's vision shifted slightly as the sun fully dropped beyond the horizon and shadows cloaked the dungeon. Either dark vision allowed him to make out the details of the spiders better, or they had stopped concealing themselves with the onset of night. The spiders were large for their species, about the size of Joe's middle finger. This was not the disturbing aspect of them, oh no. Beyond their size was their form. The arachnids had the torso and head of human women, but no human limbs. Instead, they had the legs of spiders, if spiders' legs were made out of syringes. Yes, the legs on the spiders were made out of hypodermic needles. That was enough for Joe. Nope, nope, nope. He raised both hands, dropping his scepter and dual-casting weak acid spray. A fountain of acid shot upward, killing spiders and mutilating the foliage. Some splashed down on him, but the damage was small enough that he ignored it. Still channeling the spell, he turned in place and continued washing the area with the destructive fluid. Just as he stopped, panting, he heard a muffled scream of terror from Alexis. She had fallen over, and a dozen spiders were on her back, staring at the others in the party. Before anyone else could make a move, the tiny creatures suddenly pulled hard on the threads, connecting them to the branches above, and shot into the air, pulling Alexis with them.
There was a moan of terror, and a moment later she was dropped, having been slingshot and released above the tree's foliage. She landed heavily, head first, dying instantly upon impact. The remaining members of the party simply stood there in shock. In the space of a few seconds, everything had moved from not dangerous at all to a teammate being dropped out of a tree by freaking needle spiders. Bard looked at Alexis's body in horror, then glanced back at Joe, a simple question on his lips.
Fire!
Joe shook his head. I'll walk ahead blasting the trees with acid. We need to clear a path right away. They got bolder with darkness. Keep an eye out. If they come at us across the ground, we might be screwed if we don't see them. He put his plan into action, stepping forward briskly while keeping a stream of acid angled above himself and toward the building. There were tiny high-pitched screams every once in a while, letting Joe know that he was doing the right thing.
Nothing on the ground? Looks like they really don't want to walk, Poppy announced quietly, shuddering at his next words. I think their legs are more for landing on things than for walking.
I've got the creepy crawlies like you wouldn't imagine.
Bard scratched at his arms angrily.
Nasty little things. Poor Alexis. That must have been a terrifying way to go.
I'm sure it won't be an issue, Joe grunted, remembering that the game had a way of making you ignore past horrors.
Maybe not ignore, perhaps heal from the trauma? Joe almost missed a step as that second thought crossed his mind. That thought hadn't come from him.
Skill gained. Mental manipulation resistance. Novice 1. This skill is a staple for the paranoid and frightened. While it might be useful in certain situations, all that you are doing is hurting yourself. Effect. Grants 10 plus 1 N% direct resistance to mental manipulation, where N is skill level. This will help you block out effects of skills such as fear, control, and magical seduction. At rank 10, 2 N% less experience lost upon death. Caution. Frequent use of this skill may lead to a damaged mind. It isn't normal to walk away from a fight where you were killed. By removing some of the mind-altering effects of dying and coming back, you lose experience. With this skill, you lose some of the protections granted to the minds of travelers. At the beginner ranks, you may start to go insane upon dying. You have gained a class, Psychomancer, Restricted. A being that inspires fear into the hearts of foe and friend alike, the Psychomancer works to directly control others. Unlike a bard who evokes reaction through emotion or a necromancer who controls empty bodies of the dead, a psychomancer controls the living, easily being able to turn groups into puppets at higher levels. Psychomancer has been absorbed by class. Ritualist. All bonuses from having this class are negated. Caution. This class has the rarity restricted. If an official of the Kingdom of Ardania sees this class active without permission from the king or queen, you will be jailed immediately. To make an appointment with one of the monarchs, find a trusted government official and inform them of this development. Quest gained. Please don't kill me. By gaining a kingdom-restricted class, you have set yourself up to become an enemy of the kingdom and, therefore, humanity as a whole. Proceed to a government official and turn yourself in. Reward, a fair trial by the monarchs. Failure, if caught, you face jail time or sealing. Quest gained. I do what I want. By gaining a kingdom-restricted class, you have set yourself up to be an enemy of the kingdom and therefore humanity as a whole. Find a class trainer. They are well hidden for obvious reasons. Reward. Advancement of your new class. Failure. Loss of access to hidden psychomancer trainers. This quest is automatically failed by completing quest. Please don't kill me.
One thing after another, Joe grunted, pausing his forward movement to let his mana recover.
Gauging the distance to the building ahead of them, Joe took a deep breath and continued forward, acid once again gushing from his hands. Once they stepped out from under the trees, Joe sighed with relief and dropped his hands. They had been getting heavy. Skill change. Weak acid spray has become acid spray, beginner zero. After using this spell on living beings constantly, it has shifted slightly to be more dangerous to living material. Plus 5 acid damage per second to living things. Experience 1620, 2 times 30 times phobic spiders times 27.
As horrible as this all has been, I'm getting excellent returns, Poppy announced, looking over the notifications that were appearing. The horror of coming face to face with so many phobias all at once is mentally draining, though.
He turned the door handle, threw open the door, and his top half vanished into a fine red mist as a paw the size of a manhole cover blew through him. Poppy's legs toppled over, crunching against the ground, as a bear the size of a truck stepped out of the open door and used the limbs as a welcome mat. Joe stared at the bear as it came into view, unconsciously activating his intrusive scan.
Name, Sir Barrington. Class, Raid Boss. Title, Cursed Champion of a Fallen Deity. Spriggan. Highest stat, Strength. Ongoing effects, Enraged, Bear. Grizzly damage, Triple speed, Forced sentience, Enlarged bear, Jailer, Boss monster, Item destruction, Run.
See you tomorrow, Bard.
Joe winced as a bloody paw whipped toward him. He took the hit full on, entirely unable to dodge or block the strike he could barely see coming toward him.
Critical hit. You have taken 835 blunt damage. Undying robes effect activated. Health set to 1.
Joe slid to the ground bonelessly, nearly literally. He had so many notifications for broken bones. Joe cast Lay on Hands on himself, instantly raising his health to 41 of his possible 100. Using the insight he had gained from learning how to mend bones with his main healing spell, this spell instantly ranked up.
Skill increase, Lay on Hands, beginner 6. Having proven that you are more knowledgeable about the intricacies of healing, your previous skill level has been changed to reflect your actual skill level.
Wow. He must be in a really bad situation if the prompts weren't even being mean to him.
Joe pulled himself into a sitting position just in time to see Bard get flattened. The Scald survived the first hit, but the follow-up blow sent him into a tree. Into a tree. Not into the branches, but actually creating a hole in the trunk from the force like a bad cartoon. The bear started to turn around, chuffing in dissatisfaction at a boring fight, and caught sight of Joe sitting up. It lumbered toward him, rage flaring in its eyes. Just before crushing him, intelligence shone through, replacing the fury that had filled the massive beast. With a strange, crafty facial expression, one paw came down on Joe's robe while the other scooped him out of the garment. The twisting torsion ripped Joe's arm off, but the bear grabbed that as well. Then the bear's jaws opened and closed around Joe's face.
You have died. Calculating. You lose 1800 experience. Your item, Undying Robe, has been destroyed. You will respawn in 6 real-world hours. Enjoy the relaxation. We are sure that you have earned it.
Chapter 23. Sitting in the respawn room, Joe couldn't do anything that could impact the game. No chatting with people in the guild, no researching the strange quest lines that he kept coming upon. Did other people have such strange things happening to them? They must, Joe decided firmly. He was not the smartest, strongest, or best player out there,
and yet he was stumbling upon strange and overly high-powered quests. He decided to go online and look for any information that might have made it through the restrictions the creators of the game put in place. To his shock, and a tinge of pure jealousy, Joe found that there was now an official game news channel that had all sorts of general information. The official reason was that the Mage's College had been powering a spell that prevented scrying into their world. Now that the college had instituted a leadership change, they were fine with outsiders being prepared for the challenges they might face. Joe rolled his eyes hard enough that he almost fell over at that one. Trying to play catch-up was a bit fruitless, but his anger mellowed as he learned that all that was offered online was really general information. Guild names, simple maps, and a few plans for the game. It seemed that people were hiding their class paths still. He also found a site filled with lore and learned a bit more about Ardania itself, which was nice. For instance, he found the reason that he had only ever exited via a single gate of the city. As it turned out, Ardania was massive, easily the size of New York City, with entire quest lines through the urban sprawl which allowed you to never step out of the walls and still gain levels while experiencing combat. The next gate out of the city was literally miles away. Another interesting topic in the news was that the company running Eternia had ramped up production of pods and VR setups, and even with all of the new gear, they were backlogged for at least 2 years. Apparently, there were huge shipments of the data cores being distributed to government buildings, though. Miraculously, none of the high-priced items had been stolen, even though there had been attempts to do so. An expected 250,000 players would be joining the game every 2 weeks from now on, and Joe felt extra thankful he had joined the game when he did. Joe closed his browser and decided to do other things. After the obligatory call to his mother, he felt better about diving into some practice. A bit frustrated that he had closed everything down before making his call, he got back on the internet and found some instructional videos and practical exercises for learning to draw. This was a skill that he didn't really think about much, but it was very important to his class. He had a feeling that simple chalk wouldn't work for him much longer, and being able to add more detail into a smaller space was going to be important. When he finally was sick of working, he took a short nap. His alarm was set for 5 minutes before he was going to be allowed back into the game, so Joe forced himself to relax and get some shut-eye. He was awake and ready when the portal reappeared, immediately stepping through it into the small shrine near the village. Bard was waiting for him, apparently arriving here moments before Joe had.
"Morning, Joe," Bard called over cheerlessly. "That was a right nasty beastie, huh?" "Yeah. Did you change?" "Never seen you without your bathrobe."
Joe looked down at his armor, noting a distinct lack of a certain life-saving robe.
"You've got to be kidding me. The bear stole my robe? I've had that robe since I joined the game. I thought that was just a weird animation. Ah, the message. I didn't even think about that. It said it was destroyed."
Bard watched him with wide eyes as Joe ranted and raved for a few minutes, yelling obscenities and kicking trees. It took a minute of melting the vegetation around him with acid, but Joe eventually calmed down. Bard coughed and tried to sound consoling.
"Mayhap it were, for the best. Time to move on to better things."
"Ugh, maybe. Whatever. It isn't like I can do anything about it," Joe conceded grumpily.
Bard nodded, silently agreeing with him.
"Shall we get back to town? I'm sure Lexus is waiting on me, and you seem upset."
"Give me a moment. I have a ton of notifications." Joe tapped the blinking icon that was waiting for him, and a golden halo of energy surrounded and exploded outward from his body. Euphoria filled him. He had reached level 10. He looked over his quests, specifically building a specialization. Now that he was level 10, he could go to the location Tatum had marked for him and find whatever it was that would allow him to specialize. His face clouded as he once again saw the quest options for his newly gained psychomancer class. That was going to be a very tough decision. Get training in a class that was obviously incredible, or don't piss off the kingdom. He had a feeling that even if it wasn't specifically stated, getting the training would ensure that the trial wouldn't go well if he were discovered. Joe started feeling a bit ill.
Let's go. Thanks for waiting.